O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
O Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins.
Do not reward us according to our iniquities.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The first reading is from the second book of Samuel, the 14th chapter. When the woman of Tekoa came to King David, she fell on her face to the ground and paid homage and said, "Save me, O king." And the king said to her, "What is your trouble?" She answered, "Alas, I am a widow. My husband is dead. And your servant had two sons, and they quarreled with one another in the field. There was no one to separate them, and one struck the other and killed him. And now the whole clan has risen against your servant, and they say, 'Give up the man who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed.' And so they would destroy the heir also. Thus they would quench my coal that is left and leave to my husband neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth." Then the king said to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you." And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, "On me be the guilt, my lord the king, and on my father's house let the king and his throne be guiltless." The king said, "If anyone says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall never touch you again." Then she said, "Please, let the king invoke the Lord your God, that the avenger of blood kill no more, and my son be not destroyed." He said, "As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground." Then the woman said, "Please let your servant speak a word to my lord the king." He said, "Speak." And the woman said, "Why then have you planned such a thing against the people of God? For in giving this decision, the king convicts himself, inasmuch as the king does not bring his banished one, Absalom, home again. We must all die. We are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God will not take away life, and he devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast. Now I have come to say this to my lord the king, because the people have made me afraid. And your servant thought, 'I will speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his servant, for the king will hear and deliver his servant from the hand of the man who would destroy me, and my son together from the heritage of God.' And your servant thought, 'The word of my lord the king will set me at rest. For my lord the king is like the angel of God, to discern good and evil. The Lord your God be with you.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
Do not forsake the work of your hands.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down before your holy temple and give you thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased.
All kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the high he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. We often look up to other people and admire them. We seek to model our lives after them. For instance, the young basketball player aspires to shoot like Caitlin Clark or Steph Curry. The budding author wants to write a novel like J.K. Rowling or J.R.R. Tolkien. The future entrepreneur looks to Jeff Bezos, Peter Thiel, and Elon Musk for inspiration. The young mother looks to an older mother, a woman with more experience. Younger people look to how older people age and go through life. But whom do we admire and emulate when it comes to the Christian faith? Who models for us the life of genuine faith, especially the kind of faith that holds up under trials and difficulties? The kind of faith that rather than crumbling when it faces pressure, actually grows stronger. Jesus gives an answer that might surprise us. He doesn't point to John the Baptist or to one of the apostles or to St. Paul. He doesn't name the people who've given the most or done the most or have the most virtue. Of course, we can certainly learn from those kind of people as well, but Jesus tends to find faith in the unexpected places and among ordinary people. In today's gospel reading, it's the Syrophoenician woman. A Syrophoenician woman, what does that mean? It means that this woman is a Gentile. She does not belong to the children of Israel. By birth, she hasn't been given the promises that have been given to Israel, and yet she looks to the God of Israel and to his promised Messiah for her help. Take note of this woman. In the face of her suffering, her unswerving faith, her refusal to be turned away, reveal the Lord's compassion. This woman, she does what a lot of us might not have the boldness to do. She demands that Jesus do what he came to do, to serve those in need. What kind of trouble was this woman facing? We don't know anything about her financial means. We don't know anything about her extended family or support network. We only know this. Her little daughter had an unclean spirit. Her little daughter, plagued and oppressed. Her little daughter, under the power of the devil. These forces lined up against God and his gracious reign and rule. I can't imagine what lengths this woman went to take care of her little child.
maybe different remedies that she tried, the way that her daughter's affliction reshaped her entire life, perhaps having her spend her days and her time bent in that direction. And then she heard something. She heard of a man named Jesus, a man of Israel, a man that some were calling a mighty prophet, a man who had done things that no other man could do. And so she comes to him. She puts her faith in him. It's just that simple. With her need, with her struggle, with her trial, with her suffering, she goes to Jesus. And I'm always amazed by how she approaches him. I suspect that if I were approaching Jesus, I might be a little bit timid, a little bit shy. You know, an excuse me, sir, maybe a tug on the sleeve, kind of speak under my breath. If he doesn't respond, maybe I just walk away. She doesn't do that. This woman is bold, not meek. She doesn't mind that Jesus is important and that she's lowly. She believes that he came for people like her. And she will bring her case before him. She will lay her need at his feet. And unlike her ancestors, the other Syrophoenicians who came before her, she's not hostile to him. She doesn't hate him. She's not an enemy of his. She is simply one who seeks her help from Jesus. She came and fell down at his feet. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She knows what Jesus can do. She knows what she needs. She knows that he has the answer. And so she begs him, she prays to him, she asks him to do her good. I'm amazed by the deep theological insight of this woman, because she recognizes something about the nature of Jesus, who he is, what he has come to do. She understands his gracious heart, and so she makes her appeal to him. And what does she hear? Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Let the children be fed first. What does that mean? It sounds like Jesus is putting her off. It sounds like Jesus is saying, maybe later, maybe after I've fed everyone else, maybe after the children of Israel have had their share, maybe there can be some crumbs for you. But I'm not going to throw you the children's bread. This woman is not turned away. You see, this is the moment of testing for her. Sunday we talked about a tested faith. This is the moment of testing. Is her faith in this moment going to crumble? Going to say, well, I guess this isn't for me. Well, I guess he doesn't really love me. He can't help me. Or is she going to double down and cling to Jesus? She takes that little word, dogs, and she says, you know what? I've got an opening there. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs get something. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. They get the scraps. So call me a dog, but you better give me a dog's share. This is the faith of this woman. She believes that even the blessings that Jesus brings are blessings that are intended for her. Let us believe the same thing as well, that the blessings that Jesus brings are not simply blessings and gifts for others, but they are blessings meant for us. And when we ask him, when we beg him, when we seek his help, even if the answer is no or the answer is not yet, let us not give up asking, and let us not lose heart and turn away from Jesus, but cling to him even more and say, Jesus, if not that now, then give me what you know is best. Jesus tells her after that she can depart. She can go her way. The demon has left your daughter. Indeed, this woman gets more than crumbs. She gets everything that Jesus has. She only wants the crumbs that fall from the table. Her vision is this small, but Jesus is this great, this large. He never reduces his grace to crumbs when he gives. And when he gives to you, he will not just give you scraps, but he will give you all that you need. Jesus' grace and mercy is overflowing, and there is always more and enough left over for each and every one of us. And what he gives us now is simply a foretaste of the great gifts that he has in store. For this is the Jesus who has won for us not simply scraps and crumbs, but he has won for us full forgiveness of sins, amen, eternal life and salvation. And he won it at the cost of his own blood. And this is why we cling to him and call to him. And like the Syrophoenician woman, fall at his feet and say, Lord, help us. Lord, save us. Lord, have mercy on us. And he does. He has mercy on you this day. And so we see in this woman this example of tested faith, a tested faith that produces steadfastness. If she can remain with Jesus through this, is there anything that can turn this woman away? Is there anything that can rob her of her Savior? And the answer is no. And so this woman, her tested faith is genuine, more pure than gold that has been refined in a fire. And her faith results in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. May we follow in the steps of this Syrophoenician woman, not looking into our own hearts, into our own selves, but rather simply looking to Jesus and saying, Lord, you have what we need. You are the one who is able to do what is necessary for us. You are the Savior of Israel and our Savior as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and preserve us all faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants, and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Behold in mercy all who are sick, who suffer, and who rejoice. Be with all expectant mothers, all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn, especially with Melinda's father, Matt. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor, that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your holy body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.